hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. Happy New Week, everybody. It's me, Ronnie Karam. And over there is the cute, talented, wonderful, handsome, thin, well-coiffed Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. How's it going over there with ya?
It's going really well. You know, it's Monday, ready to start off the week. So excited.
Yeah, me too. Monday. What a glorious time. Everybody, we do Crappens On Demand, which is videos. This is not a video. But if you want to see a couple of video recaps a week, go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and sign up. That's the Crappens On Demand level. We also do bonuses every week. This week, we are going to do a recap of the first episode of... What has it been? Sorry. I don't want to mess up the name.
You caught me when I was sipping my iced coffee.
My unorthodox life from Netflix. So we're going to do that this week. There's lots of other fun bonuses. So go sign up. And thank you to everybody who has signed up. And today we're here with a little Real Housewives of Potomac Tomes, okay?
Yeah, what an episode. Potomac is so good. And it opens up in the most exciting way possible. Robin in bed with her phone, her alarm going off.
Yeah. Robin in bed. Yeah. 8:26 a.m. She's got her alarm at this. And I thought, God, I do that too, because I think it's going to trick my body. If I don't do 8:25, but I do 8:26.
Yeah.
I'll have that like sudden jolt of wake up. Like, oh my God, it's 8:25. But it wasn't the whole time. Like, you're trying to trick yourself.
I know. I often set my alarms for non, like, I don't want to say major numbers. There's a heuristic for it where certain numbers feel more important, like zeros and fives and tens and things like that. And I'm like, I'll set my alarm for 8:01 or something, you know, or like 9:16. It's very strange.
Yeah, because you don't want to feel like, I'm getting up at 8 like everybody. Like, I got up at 8:01, bitch.
Yeah, it's like my one moment of individuality of the day. It's like, look at me, I'm an artist. I wake up at 8:26.
Yeah, look at me sleeping late until 26. So Juan is there. Juan had a talk with Robin in a fucking vegan smoothie shop or whatever. Which, listen, if you ever want to get me to listen to you, it's not going to be from a lecture at a vegan smoothie shop. How about you go fuck yourself? How about if you want to tell me anything that you want me to actually listen to, you do it over a Bloomin' Onion.
Fuck. I don't think I'd be able to listen to anything in front of a Bloomin' Onion, though. I'd actually be resentful if I had to stop and listen instead of just dive into the Bloomin' Onion.
Well, he had a lecture for her about getting her ass out of bed in the morning. So he's like, get up, the boys are waiting. So she gets up and wakes up one of her sons. She's like, sit in your chair in front of your computer. Have a great day at school. And then goes back to bed.
Yeah, like she wakes up the kid like 3 minutes before class, which sucks. I mean, you know, and by the way, I have a lot of empathy for her because, you know, I think pandemic burnout is real. What I don't have a lot of empathy for is Juan, who's in the bathroom doing who knows what, saying, hey, Robin, are the boys awake? How about you go wake them up yourself? Like, you know, there are two people here and you're already awake, so go do it.
Or how about you teach your children to wake themselves up?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I guarantee they know how to use an alarm clock. I guarantee.
Yeah. How about you threaten them that if they're not up, then something gets taken away? Okay. They get up, they make themselves some cereal, and then they sit in front of their computer. Okay.
Yeah,
how now, about this you is just coming like... from a non-parent who it's very, very easy for non-parents yeah. to be like, oh, raise them better. I mean,
well, I mean, listen, this is what I say. I say prop the laptop up, and if the kid doesn't wake up, then congratulations, you're now sleeping on Zoom in front of your whole class, and now you've been humiliated in front of your peers, and now you'll never make that mistake again. That's what I call parenting.
Good old trauma. Come
trauma,
on, guys.
Shame, yeah. Embarrassment, and trauma.
Yeah, when did public humiliation stop working?
I know. Like, we all love those stories of, like, the judge who said, you know what you get for your sentence? You're going to be handcuffed to a donkey for 5 days, and that'll teach you to never kick a donkey or something like that. And we're always like, everyone forwards that around, being like, now this is justice. Just do it to your kids.
Yeah. So it's 30 minutes later, and she's snoring now in bed, and Juan comes in, and he's like, come on, Robin. She's like, but Carter isn't up yet. I have 2 more minutes.
Yeah. And again, I'm wondering why Juan can't also just walk into his child's room and like wake up the kid, right? So Juan, he's just like starts saying how she's making excuses, and she said, and Robin talks about how she's just burned out by the pandemic and it's just nonstop. It's homework, it's dinner, it's basketball practice, it never ends. And she's just lost all her motivation.
Yeah. So then the teacher is talking to one of the kids and she's like, come on, Carter, you have to make sure your mom wakes you up earlier. Okay. Cause school is your responsibility and you have to take it. Okay. Then if school's his responsibility, then tell him he has to wake himself up. Okay.
Yeah. How about that?
Tell him to go bitch at his mother. What kind of teacher are you?
Yeah. How about you teach, the fundamentals of an alarm clock? How about that? How about alarm clock 101?
Thank you for coming to Parenting by Two People Without Children. Okay, let's go over to
That's my favorite thing is to give parenting advice with like no context or experience. That's my favorite.
So Ray is moving flowers around the house because, of course, Karen's got some damn, you know, home goods bullshit.
It's like, Zoom seminar.
Yeah, as heavy as a small car to move around. So he's like, ooh! Trying to move these flowers around. And Karen's trying to figure out her webcam with Ray, you know, which is, it's pretty, it goes pretty much how you think it would. Ray, honey, the lighting's yellow, Ray.
Yeah, showing us, you know, the difficulties of, you know, it's just funny because Karen knows how to set an alarm clock, but doesn't know how to do Zoom. And the kids know how to do Zoom, but don't know how to do an alarm clock. Each one has what the other one needs.
Oh, so she's having him adjust her ring light or whatever and change the colors. And she's like, well, you're not leaving me until this thing goes live, Ray. He's like, oh, Zoom, why do I have to do the Zoom? But then the second the Zoom comes on, Ray is like Ed McMahon over there. Like, oh, yes, Karen, tell it again. I love this Zoom.
Yeah, and he's like, this may be his first Zoom call he's ever done, because he's like, hey, there's people there. It's like, yes, Ray, it's a Zoom call. That's how they work. There are people on screen. He's like, look at that, and they're talking.
La Dame has been on a journey, Ray. La Dame Wiggs is the second leg in the journey, Ray. Success doesn't come easy. I'm lucky to be alive in the pandemic. Thankfully, people need to spray themselves and wear wigs in the pandemic.
Oh, good people of Zoom. Good small little people of Zoom. First of all, I want to say thank you in advance. I do love Hollywood Squares. It's wonderful to be here. I'm going to be choosing the one in the middle there momentarily. But first, let me say I'm so excited to be here with you guys, and I brought my little sweetheart. Go wave at him. Yes, Ray, they're waving at you. They can see you, Ray. Yes, those are real people, Ray. I made a glueless installation for you all. I named them Kim and Queens. You can go from the boardroom to the bedroom, honey. Tell them, Ray. Tell them how you can actually walk from a boardroom to a bedroom. Do it, Ray.
Ray's just being an old creepy perv on the Zoom. He's like, I like some queens. I might get into some more Zooms. Calm down, Ray, okay? You know what? Watch your mouth. You're back to flower pot moving, Ray.
Who's Zooming who? So then we go to Giselle at a coffee shop, and Ashley, who is now officially about 65 weeks pregnant, and she comes on in. I'm like, This lady is, I'm like, how are you going places? You like,
I know,
if it were me, I would be on a cushion at all times, not moving at all.
Yeah,
again, saying as someone who's never been pregnant.
Yeah, she's definitely a trooper, that one. Does Giselle ever go anywhere that's not a pastry shop? That's my main question.
No,
everywhere Giselle goes is for pastries. I know. Every single place she goes is a pastry shop. So Ashley comes in, and Giselle gives her shrimp, bacon, and cabbage. Wait, is that her?
No.
Oh,
like
she must be getting a salad, right?
Yeah.
But she says she wants the straight shrimp, bacon, cabbage situation. So then the whole time I was like, is that the flavor of the cake? Like,
wow.
Fuck modern cake. But then I realized she got a salad as well.
There was a salad. Don't you worry. I think she got some manner of poppy cake with frosting. It looked delicious, to be honest.
Is this something that Potomac's trying to push on us? Because this is not the only time in this episode we have somebody eating like a cake with a salad. Because Mia's kid later puts a cupcake in a salad, right?
Oh, it was a donut with a salad.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. It's a cakey substance. Okay.
Yeah.
It's brainwashing. It's a new food pyramid.
Listen, no, you guys have been doing it in Austin forever. I mean, listen, I went to, what was it, Gordo's or whatever it's called, where I had like a, some manner of like a beaten arugula salad in like a donut bowl, you know?
Yeah.
You guys have been on top of that for a while.
Yeah, Gordo's. So let's see. So who cares what they're eating besides the two of us? Giselle gives her her pastry first because she's being very nice. They have some small talk and the baby and stuff. And Giselle's basically like, so are you worried that Michael's going to fuck the nanny?
Yeah, pretty much. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, understanding what an influence he has over Dean is contributing to Michael doing this right. I'm like, there. If Michael had a shred of thought about how his actions could impact anyone, he would not, like, we would not even be at this question right now. He doesn't think about that stuff. And isn't it, is there a new Michael Darby scandal that's brewing, by the way? Did I see that earlier today, or my
I don't know. What was
something?
It?
Someone sent me something of like Michael Darby. I think it was on Du Moi, which I guess is an Instagram thing. And they
you
were,
guess? Excuse me.
I don't know.
Wow.
Are they big?
Yeah. Hello. Du Moi.
Du Moi. Oh, well.
Yeah, people send in blinds. People send in blinds.
Well, apparently, someone sent me something from Du Moi about Michael Darby and a lady. But I didn't check to see how I could look it up while you do the next thing. But I think another Michael Darby scandal is gestating. You know, that's how it works.
Gestating,
you know?
No pun intended, Ben. Jeez.
You know, have a baby one year, have a scandal the next. That's the way it works.
Well, it's hard having this conversation, right? Because now you've got Giselle who's like, oh, are you sure Michael's going to behave himself? Don't forget, he was just at a strip club. I mean, Giselle, you were with Jamal, who was rumored to, like, impregnate somebody from the church just a few months ago. And before that, she was dating that guy who was fucking in a park. I don't know. It's a rough breakfast. It's a rough breakfast, is what I'm saying. So she's saying that, Ashley's saying that she's going to give Michael the benefit of the doubt because he really wants to do this well for Dean. He wants to do it right. So, you know, to Michael, that just means not getting caught. But, hey, you know what?
Exactly.
You make the effort you can, okay?
It just means that he is going to put a sticker over all cell phones nearby.
Yeah. So then they start talking about Karen's party, and Ashley says, in attendance was Eddie and Wendy. Could you please stand by a castle door with a horn while you say this? In attendance.
In attendance were the following.
Yeah. So she tells her who is there, and she tells her that Mia said she volunteered that she had 3 C-sections. So I asked her about her clit, and she said that they just get it in too much. I mean, what is it, flapping in the wind?
It's a very specific image that she put into our brains with that.
Yeah. So then Mia said that once she realized that Giselle wished death upon Ray, that Mia said, you're just a pretty face. And Giselle's like, okay. So after she left that party, she was texting me and Robin, happy Valentine's Day, etc. And then we see a very long text thread that seems to only be Mia's texts that are paragraphs long.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I just want to say, I did just try to look up this gestating scandal and I could not find it. So I will give an update later. So I apologize if I just drudged up false and or old news. So sorry, everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just how
I'm over here giving you an angry look. I have my arms crossed and I'm just giving an angry look to the microphone.
Sorry, everyone.
About it.
Sorry that I couldn't deliver with my Michael Darby news. I knew I should have. Let me see. Michael Darby.
No, I don't really care. I'm just kidding.
No, I think I'm getting my stories mixed up.
Oh, so then Giselle's like, okay, well, now I'm looking sideways at Mia. So she says, oh, they start talking about pregnancy and how during her second pregnancy, nobody even cared about her. They were just like, how are the babies? How are the twins? Wow, you're having twins? Great. How are the twins? And it made her feel very sad.
Yeah, so now she wants to pamper Ashley. She wants to throw a pamper party for Ashley because she basically is like, you know, are you feeling lonely? It doesn't matter. I'm throwing a party anyway. We have to throw a party for this episode, so we're going to do it. And she's like, So, the one person I don't want to invite, is the woman I can't stand right now, Karen Huger. But of course, Ashley wants to invite her and Mia.
Yes. And Giselle's like, so this Mia girl, I mean, do you tell people that you just met that you got your clit done? Because who tells people they just got their clit done? And Ashley says, porn stars. And she's like, yeah, that's what I thought. And you know, so Giselle then loves slut shaming a new person. Like, that's Giselle's hobby. That's what she did to Ashley when she met Ashley.
Yeah, yeah, she loves that. And, you know, now she's got Wendy to help out. So that's going to be great. Zen Wen. So then we now go over to Robin's mom's warehouse, which I didn't know there was a warehouse in the family. So that's very exciting. And Robin is there with Escala, right? Escala. I knew there was a syllable at the end. I just couldn't remember. Escala. And they're packing orders for Embellished. And I'm really behind on my orders, you know, because my business has blown up. So they're packing and everything, and they're talking about the pamper party, and Wendy shows up, because why not? Like, why not hang out at a warehouse, right?
Yeah, and she's talking about her homosexual line. I'm doing candles. And Robin's like, oh, what happened to professor and political commentator? Now we've got candles and homosexual lines. Those don't go together. Well, you're a house flipper with hats. I mean, I agree with you, but come on.
Yeah. Robin, I think both points can exist together. Yes. Yeah. So now we go over to Mia's house, and Mia she's like in a wine cellar or something, or she's picking out a bottle of wine. She's like, what do I have a taste for today? And so she chooses a wine, and then
scene, she likes to prove that she's a businesswoman. Like last week, she was walking around on her cell phone, like, look at me, I'm on the cell phone. And this week, she's like, I'm going over tables. So what do you think of tables? Do you know table width? Because of business.
Yeah. Because do you know the width of the storefront? I was like, what was that? Storefront? I had to rewind it three times before I realized she said storefront. She's like, do we know the width of the storefront? Storefront? Do we know it? Width of the storefront?
So she's talking about the Ashley pamper day at the spa, and she's like, well, you know what happened at Karen's, right? He's like, oh, actually, the guys were in the kitchen talking about how many deer were there staring in the window the day before, so you'll have to update me. So she starts telling him while we cut back between the Wendy stuff. So we go back to Wendy, and Wendy's like, I said, the minute that Giselle isn't here, she's just a pretty face. And she's doing this with her hands. She's moving her hands. And so I said, first of all, do not put your hands on my face. And she says, what are you going to do about it? Old Wen would have popped. But new Zen Wen is Zen Wen. Okay? Because that's my name, Zen Wen.
I think she needs to figure out what Zen Wen stands for, by the way. I'm having some branding issues because she seems pretty fired up. And she gets fired up again later. And she keeps insisting that she's Zen Wen. But for someone who's so Zen Wen, she seems to really be like rather bothered by the situation. So then we go back to Gordon, who's saying how he enjoyed talking to Eddie. And Mia's like, yeah, but he comes off like he's like scared of her. Like, I know my Eddie. I know he doesn't think anyone here is cute. Honey, your husband couldn't even look at me in the eye when he okay, honey?
So then back with the others, Robin is like, well, I told Karen to try and check herself. It's like, well, you know, then back to whoever. Whose house was it at?
Escala's like.
So Wendy's like, well, the event was at my house, so I didn't want anyone to feel ganged up on. So that's why I was kind of standing up for Karen, because Robin's mad that she wasn't mad at Karen with the rest of them, and she's kind of standing up for Karen. And so Robin's like, well, the Wendy from last year would have had Giselle's back, and now you're gonna have Karen's back.
Yeah, she's like, this makes no sense. And Wendy goes, I'm good, I'm Zen Wen, I'm Zen Wen. Yeah, I thought about that. I came up with Zen Wen a few weeks ago, and I've decided I'm really gonna push that forward. So yeah. I'm gonna say it a few more times, just in case.
She's really trying to make Zen Wen happen, for sure. Yeah. So then, speaking of trying to make things happen, let's remember that Candace is a mother now, guys. Okay? So back to Candace and her kids. She is basically talking to Chris about being the husbander, but he's just making drinks down at the bar, which sounds good to me. Reminds me of my childhood.
Yeah, and Candace is like, if my mother saw this, she'd be like, Candace, you're drinking too much. And Chris goes, well, I'm an adult. I'll drink when I want. I was like, oh, okay. So then...
And of course, you say, my mother thinks, and then, of course, you hear immediately, ooh, Candace!
Yeah, Candace's phone actually, like, slaps her on the side of the face with a pocketbook somehow. Like, that's the ringtone.
A little tiny purse comes out and hits Candace across the face.
It's the only physical ringtone known to man. So Dorothy FaceTimes, and Candace is like, look, it's Chris. Oh, drinking in the middle of the day, Dorothy says. So then Candace is like, well, I'm supposed to have tea with Karen this weekend. Oh, you have to be careful, okay? You have to be careful.
Be super careful. And Candace tells us that she loves Karen like a sister and an auntie. So I need her to express that she is wrong for defending reprehensible bullshit.
Yeah. Which is really not what happened. So then Dorothy is like asking about the music. She's like, how's the music going? How much more money do you need for this ridiculous dream that will never lead to anything? Just tell me the bill. What is it? And Candace says, oh, well, have I told you that Chris is like managing me? I call him my husbander. It's hilarious. It rolls right off the tongue. Here, you try it. Husbander. Just try it.
Good luck with that, Candace. What do you think she's going to say? I feel like Candace is still a teenager just saying things to make her mom mad, and then her mom gets mad, and she's like, bitch!
Yeah, exactly.
And the mom's like, well, when your husband quits his job and manages you as his sole income, she's like, I do not like you insinuating that Chris is trying to take my money. Well, where else is he getting paid? He's getting paid from your money, right?
Yeah. I don't really know where any of their money comes from, to be honest. I mean, Dorothy. It's clearly Dorothy, because I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do.
Yeah. So Candace is mad at her. She's like, you are giving me undue stress. And she's like, well, it's your life, Candace. Please remember that, mother. So then we go over to Karen and Wendy, who are getting together at whose house? Karen's house, right?
Karen's house. Yeah.
Yeah. So Karen puts out this big sushi spread, and Wendy's like, where's that Nigerian food, Karen?
Karen's like, I don't know. I don't understand that question. Let's head downstairs to my woman cave. It's my woman cave. And so Wendy says, last year, Karen and I were butting heads, but truth is that when you're a grown woman in a good place, it's easy to move forward, and I have a newfound respect for anyone who has started a business. I'm like, okay, Karen is not Bill Gates over here. Okay, this is, Karen has, she has a fragrance that she got into a store, which is, that's very impressive, but let's not act like she's, you know, the next seat on Shark Tank over here.
I think the real truth is that they're sharing Matt. I have no proof of that, but that's what I'm thinking, they're sharing Matt. Because Matt's like the business one, right? He's like, yeah. Oh, you get a fragrance, and I'll go sell that shit, girl. So that's what he does for all the housewives. So I think that Wendy probably snagged Matt, and then now Wendy and Karen have to make friends or whatever. And Karen's kind of lording Matt over Wendy. Like, you want to use my game? You will eat my sushi and shut up about it. So Wendy tells her, guess what? Because Wendy really knows how to stick to a point. She's like, well, Karen, I'm a Zen Wen now. I'm struggling. I want to be the Black Martha Stewart. Towels, pillows, throw rugs.
She should talk to Phaedra Parks and, you know, they can maybe collaborate on some ideas.
Specialized rugs that you can wrap dead bodies up in. And like.
So
Karen, when she says she wants to do towels, pillows, and throw rugs, Karen goes, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
She probably says that about everything. Like, Ray, could you pass the pickles? It's a multi-billion dollar industry.
You like candy? I like candy. Trillion dollar industry.
Hold on, Ray. Let's make our bed. You know, making beds is a million dollar industry, Ray.
Then when? So Karen's like, well, she's really grown. She's looking for a mentorship. I mean, I am who I am. Stick them in, Karen. Stick them in. Click them to your gums, Karen.
So Karen's like asking, you know, things like, so do you have a business plan? Because I sure as hell didn't. Well, yeah, I have written a paragraph. A paragraph? That's way too many words. How about just a piece of punctuation? Get on with it. You know what I'm saying? Let me see your candle. What sort of candle do you have? Okay, well, here it is. Zen when? I can't read this.
And she says, oye. And Karen's like, oh, Wendy, very classy. I like the scent. Now, you have a product. So, who is your market? And who knows Oye? Why would they pick your candle and no one else's candle? She's like, but this is what I'm afraid of. Why are you doing this to me?
Well, when you come to me for advice, you're not going to get your hand held. Ray, let go of her hand.
So then we go to Mia. This is where her kid is eating a donut salad. We learn a little bit about Mia in this scene. She tells us that she has joint custody with Joshua's father and that they've become friends because the most important thing is Joshua. And then she sits down with G and has a talk about spending Valentine's Day with her mom. And she's had a rough time with her mom because her mom and dad both had a drug issue and she ended up in foster care. And so she would hear about her mom getting it together and going to rehab, but she didn't even have contact with her for 6 whole years as a kid. And she feels like her mom was so embarrassed that she lost her kid that she kind of cut her off. Like she wouldn't even write her back or do anything.
Mm. Yeah.
It's sad.
Sad. It's sad. So, but clearly we are now going to see what her arc is for the season because his name is Gordon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He thinks that like basically, you know, in time they'll find a way to open the door to having a relationship again. So that's where that's going.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
And then we go over to Candace's house where Karen shows up. Ooh, yes, this is nice. Yes, Candace, yes. Ooh, this is beautiful. Look at this beautiful marble. Oh, this is just foam core, isn't it? Okay, well, that's fine, too.
I really approve of your builder, the Gorga, is that how you pronounce it? Gorga?
Gorga Construction, is that what this is? Wow, it looks very stable.
So, Karen, you know, look, Karen really wants to show us that she's got power over mammals because in every scene, it's a different kind of fur with Karen this season. She's like, look, here's another thing I had killed to wear. So, and they're also like costume furs, you know, like, hey, it's 42nd Street on Broadway. It's a lady in the 20s in a fur coat.
Yeah.
So anyway, she comes in with her giant fur, and then they're both being very like formal with each other. Karen's like, "This is breathtaking, Candace. Breathtaking. Look at all your hard work, or whatever it is that you do to earn this." Candace.
I just want to take this all in before it gets repossessed. Beautiful views. Beautiful. God, you're going to always remember that balcony. Oh, so special, these memories. Oh, and Candace is like, well, we're going to be doing tea. Is that okay? And I was afraid she was going to say, because I'm singing. But luckily she didn't. So Karen's like, well, you know what is. You know it's okay. So she serves tea in a Mackenzie Childs kettle. This nasty-ass checkerboard bullshit. So then my old nemesis rears its ugly head. And Karen's like, so do we want to try and save our friendship? This is really good juju for you guys. Really good juju.
Meanwhile, Naya is like sliding down the stairs trying to get Karen to be like, oh, hello, cute little child. Come give Auntie a hug. Auntie has some gum in her purse. Mm. But Karen's not like that. So Karen just turns her back to the stairs and ignores the child.
I know. She's like, would you like a Werther's replication? I don't have the original, unfortunately.
Candace is like, well, mommyhood is challenging, but it's also very fun. So listen, this conversation is a part of the peace and feeling that I have now. Like, I'm in a place that we could move forward, but it's very important that we define what that looks like in that space.
What are you talking about, Candace?
Yeah, it's just a friendship, okay? Like, this is not, you don't need a business plan for a friendship. And so Karen says, well, I know you were hurt and mad at the decision that I made to be neutral, and I don't regret it. I did my best, and you were hurt physically and mentally and emotionally, and I was hurt emotionally. And it's like, why were you hurt emotionally? She's, well, where were you? Did you not see the attack that was levied on me for the position I took? I felt like I was iced out, unlike your tea, which is blazing hot, and I do appreciate it. But you wanted me to reach out sooner, and I get it. You're needy. You need attention at all times from your elders. I understand it. But they were circling around you and protecting you.
And Candace is like, but we had conversations that superseded the group, so why would outside factors be a hindrance when it mattered the most?
Karen goes, well, I can't change the past. And she goes, well, you just said you wouldn't have changed anything anyway.
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, you got to hand it to Karen. Like, you're trying to get her to come lay herself out for you. She told you, and she had a conversation with you separate from the group about it. And she had a conversation with the group about it. You're not going to win just by crying all the time. But by all means, please take that quartered grilled cheese and wipe your eyes with it. Because this is the biggest ass fold we've seen yet with Candace.
Yeah, this is like literally she has taken a pyramid. She's taken the pyramid in front of the Louvre and is putting it in her eyeball right now.
She's taken like a quarter of a club sandwich and she's like dabbing her eye with it.
Yeah, so she's dabbing it, and Karen's like, you know, I don't know what this looks like moving down the road. Like, I literally wonder what it looks like moving down the road, because we have to move again. We cannot afford our house.
And Candace is like, well, I opened up the walls of forgiveness, but she is not capable of being my friend. Be quiet. I wish she could get kicked out of her own house. Be quiet, Candace. So let's go to Ashley's pamper party.
Yeah, and so Giselle's at the spa, and she's setting up balloons, and she's just beating up the balloons. She's just swatting at them. She's just like, pop, 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 pop. And Candace arrives, and Candace says that she's not going to say anything rude about Ashley, not while Ashley is with child.
Because now that matters. So she talks about seeing Karen, but Karen said she doesn't regret it. So I'm like, pass the peas then. Fine. Just pass the peas. We can still kiki. And Giselle's like, no, that's very fucked up. I need you to be more angry.
Yeah. So people arrive. Ashley shows up again. So, so pregnant. And she's like, oh my God, you got food. She's just so happy that there's food there. That's all she wanted.
So let's see. Robin tells Ashley, oh, you know, the second's easy. Don't worry. Carter just popped right out. She's like, but did you get torn? She's like, well, maybe a little bit. She's like, ah. So then Escala shows up too, and she brings a gift, and it's champagne, which she says is because she craves champagne when she is pregnant, so she can have it right when she gives birth. But that shit was in the garage. Okay, that's a re-gift. You don't give a pregnant woman champagne.
Yeah, because Ashley's like, is this good champagne? Like, what's Andre? So because also if you're breastfeeding, you can't drink, right? Or you have to drink a small amount.
Isn't that you don't drink,
they say?
Well, yeah, you're not I don't know, here we go again. I think that it's you're not supposed to drink, but then some people have a glass or something a day. Yeah, I don't know.
I think we all know the only thing you can eat when you are pregnant is sushi and raw cheese, I think. So anyway, Karen.
Really, the best thing to take when you're pregnant, mercury supplements. Delicious.
So cold cuts all day long.
Yeah. Definitely sleep on your stomach.
So Karen arrives and she says, "This is the continuance of the nest that I did she say the nest that I gave you? What did she say?
That's what I thought she said. That's what I wrote too. This is a continuance of the nest I gave you.
I didn't know nests could be on a continuum, but they are, apparently. So Karen's like, "I will not interact with Giselle until Giselle owns her own lies." And
Giselle's like, "Nope, I'm not here for you, Karen." So then Mia comes and Wendy's just giving her stink eye the whole time. Yes. So she's like, "Hello, hello, Wendy." And Wendy says, "Well, I'm open to getting to know her, but she's definitely a flip-flopper."
This is just like such a tenuous hill for Wendy to die on. But, you know, I appreciate it because it's what Real Housewives is all about. So yeah. Then they play this game where Giselle shows everyone like a blown up picture of someone in the group, their pregnant belly, and they have to guess who it is. So they're all like really good, and they all are guessing them. But the best one, of course, was Karen's, and they figure out Karen's belly because it's the picture is so old. There's like a date from like the from the film that it was shot on.
Yeah, when cameras used to timestamp things, it's like from 1997.
Yeah, they're like, "I think that one's Karen because it's not actually a photo. It's just a very strong Victorian drawing."
Yeah. They're like, "We guessed Karen's because it's a tin type." Okay. So Candace, they show a picture and they're like, "Wait a minute." Candace is like, "Let me explain. I was pregnant there with possibilities." And they all crack up. So then they start separating.
There were never any possibilities.
Yeah. So then they separate two of them at a time to go get their treatments at the spa. And so Ashley and Escala are sent off first. And meanwhile, Karen is talking to Mia. And Mia's like, "Oh, your party was great. It was everything I needed." She goes, "Well, I was concerned with Wendy. You okay over there, Wendy? Everything going okay?" And Wendy's like, "Well, I'm right here. You can talk to me about it."
Yeah. So Candace says that hands can come off as threats. Oh, yeah. They're talking about that, about Mia talking with her hands. And Candace is saying, "Well, you know, talking with your hands can come off as threatening," which I know that that's I know that's not Candace who's saying that. Candace, who was got into this controversial fight by sticking her hands in Monique's face. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, Candace, the voice of reason. So then Wendy's like, "Well, do not try that with me again." And she's like, "Well, I talk with my hands. I mean, you can't tell me how to act. If you don't like how I act, you can have a
what?
You can say
can what? You say that one more time? What?
Hands. So then Wendy has decided that she's just going to go after this girl at all times. So she's like, "I did not come for you at Karen's because I respect people's homes, but today I have time. I'm Zen Wen, so do not come for me when I have time because I have time. Tick tock, meow."
I'm like, "Wait, so you're saying that because you're Zen Wen and you have a Zen constitution that therefore no one should start with you because you're gonna go off on them? Is that what the I don't get how that works. I don't understand how you being Zen Wen means that you are now a force to be reckoned with in terms of popping off." Those things don't make sense together.
Yeah, she's like, "I'm Zen, so I'm gonna take time to tell your ass off." So then Robin just starts cracking up and she's like, "Whoa, Zen Wen has time."
That is my favorite thing that Robin does. My favorite is when Robin just sits there and then just becomes the audience and just starts cracking up also, because she just does it in everyone's face all the time. Like, that was a funny one.
That's so funny. So then Wendy's still going, tick tock, I have time. And Wendy goes, "I mean, who are you anyway? Like, you don't even go here." Like, okay, yeah. So now you're Zen Wen and Mean Girls and a clock.
Okay. And she's trying to make fetch happen. She's everything. So Mia's like, "I mean, she was basically saying that I was coming off as being
my name is Wendy. My name is Wendy."
All right, well, I was trying to uplift you at the table, okay? And just And Giselle's like, well, I love that you were trying to get all to know all of us. You know what? I'm just being Mia, okay? Mia from the block, and I will forever be transparent, okay?
I love that Wendy's obsessed or offended at being called she.
Yeah.
She does not have that thing on her Instagram where she's like, she, her. She's like, my name is Wendy. That is how you will refer to me, okay? My Zen pronoun is Wendy. Yeah.
My pronoun is Zen. She
Zen. Slash Wen.
So Giselle says, can I ask you something? Or can I say something? And Mia says, well, you said I was acting shady. And so Wendy says, your issues is not with me. Your issue is with yourself, because every 2 seconds you put your foot in your mouth. And then they cut to Ashley's foot in the spa being wrapped in seaweed.
Yeah. And Mia says, well, obviously she's unhappy at home, and that's why. No, sweetie, you're unhappy at home, and that's why you got your clit done. Oh, and Candace is like, oh!
And Mia says, I don't have time for small-minded people. And
you are dismissed. You are dismissed. You are dismissed. I got time, Zen. Dong, dismissed.
So Mia goes in the other room and goes, for someone who's all about female empowerment, Jiminy Crickets. Which I still have some leftover trauma from Below Deck, whatever season it was, when there was that one guy who was like, Jiminy Crickets, huh?
Oh yeah, Tana. The guy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're so awful. Crickets.
He was really trying to make Jiminy Crickets happen. That was the Zen Wen of that season. So back with the other ladies, Giselle's like, listen, I don't mind you going hard, but you have to let the other person speak. And Wendy's like, she said I don't deal with small-minded people. She's like, well, I missed that because you wouldn't stop talking.
Well, my response to Mia was because I was defending Giselle. So I guess loyalty is a one-sided thing in the playbook of Giselle and Robin, because they're not showing it to me. I'm like, oh my goodness, are we going to get into some sort of strange, like, circular logic about who's loyal to who based on what someone said? And like, I can't even follow it anymore. But clearly Wendy is now defecting to Team Karen, and she's moving away from being Team Giselle. Although I never really remembered what team Wendy was on in the first place. She seemed like she was sort of there for everyone except for Karen, actually.
Wendy didn't like Karen, but she was anti Monique. That was like her thing.
She was right? anti-Monique. She was,
and Ashley at first, but then they made up. So Karen's like, well, this is supposed to be fun, but Satan is throwing the party.
So this is what happens. So now Ashley comes back and Wendy goes off to her massage, and Giselle and Robin are telling Ashley and Escala about everything with Wendy. And then Wendy is now with Candace, and she's saying how she's in a good place. And Candace is saying how she just hates that Wendy feels that she has to puff up her chest in front of Mia.
Right. And she's like, but Zen when? I'm literally in a good place. Zen when? Candace is like, she's going to pop a titty if she keeps puffing up her chest like that.
Yeah.
So then Ashley is in the bathroom with Robin and Giselle.
Yes.
And Robin's like, well, we need to tread lightly because I want to get to know Mia, preferably after two.
Yeah. And because they basically want to get to know Mia without Karen and Wendy around. And then Karen says, hey, Ashley, I want to have a kiki moment with fireballs with you. Actual fireballs. Let's keep it dangerous.
And then Escala goes, can I ask one thing? Because there was a comment made that you drink heavily, Karen.
I love that. She just comes right in with it.
Escala basically stands up, takes out a time card, and punches in. She's like, I am here for work. Thank you.
And then Karen says, well, I think it's very reckless to say that someone's an alcoholic. And then it cuts to Karen saying to Giselle, you're a drunk. It was like literally at Arrested Development levels of like Lucille Bluth. It was literally like that. Remember that famous episode where Lucille Bluth and Oscar Bluth are like, you're high, you're drunk, you're high. That is basically all that Karen and Giselle are right now. And it's perfect.
So Karen's like, well, I love these women, and I can talk to them for hours, and I party, and you can come to my party whenever. We just did a love party. Like, so, nice try, Karen, but...
Yeah, she just sort of, like, oddly owns it, like, no, I don't drink a lot, I just have parties. We had a love party. We had a party for a turtle. We had a party for a...
I found a Tic Tac. We had a party for Tic Tac. So I got drunk and called my girlfriends because I had to let them into my life. I was like, I saw a Tic Tac.
So then it takes another crazy turn. So Ashley's like, yeah, that party was fun. We got to know more about Mia and G. And Mia goes, yeah, someone called G and was like, hey, we got a new girl here you might like. And then he's like, okay. And so he showed up. And like, yes, after serving drinks, I did become a stripper. And that's when I met G.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. But then she's like, but I don't do the poll, okay? Because this strip club, it's like a 5-star restaurant. I'm like, what is it? La Bernadette? What do you mean it's a 5-star restaurant? This is a James Beard Award winning, you know, Michelin star place, a 5-star restaurant. She's like, they don't have a poll because they don't want that stigma. And the girls wear long gowns.
What? Yeah. And most of my clients just want to talk. They just like want some of your time. And Giselle goes, so like an escort. She goes, yeah. But escorts have sex for money. She goes,
I wouldn't know about that, right?
Hey, listen, this escort had sex for chiropractic franchises. I think she deserves a little respect here, people.
Well, when I met Gordon, he offered me a joint, and I thought he meant weed. But now I have chiropractic offices, so...
He didn't pop my cherry, but he did pop my back. And that's when I knew it was love.
That'll be my next season tagline. So, Ashley's like, well, I've been to strip clubs where they're wearing gowns and they weren't ball gowns and their coochie was out and they had pasties on. Something was out, right? By the way, I'm still wrapping my mind around the idea of like some sort of strip club with gowns. That seems, I guess I can sort of see it, but it seems a little odd.
Yeah. So Candace is like, come on, you were doing something in that club to make that old geezer turn around and take you up to that penthouse. And Kara's like, well, there's no shame in it. Actually, I was thinking about getting a pole. I was thinking about one of those little retractable ones in the bedroom. She can show me how to use it.
Oh, dear. So then Giselle leaves and Karen is like, oh, wow, Giselle leaving early. That's just Giselle. Giselle is not a host. She's not a dresser. She's not a good wig wearer. I'm just saying. Now, she's right on most of those points. But let's not also forget that Karen was the one who hosted a wig party last season and left it early. And then when they asked, she's like, it's my right. It's my party. So I chose to leave early. I'm allowed to leave early.
True. But at that party, they were all attacking her. And at this party, Giselle just throws a party and then it's like, okay, I'm bored. Bye. Bye.
True. True. So oh, then gosh. Then Ascala leads a prayer for Ashley and they like pray for peace amongst each other.
Ascala is such a hypocrite. She's going to fit in just great. I think she's going to do a good job because after just calling Karen an alcoholic, basically, she's like, we rebuke negativity here. Okay. I'm like, well,
yeah. Good job, Ascala.
What a silly show. I love this show.
Yeah, it's so good. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back on our next episode to talk some Shaws of Sunset. Also, another show full of delusion and ridiculous things. Like this week's episode it was just Reza-tastic. So I'm excited to dive into that. So be sure you're subscribed to our podcast. If you're not, go on to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, and just hit that subscribe button and let our episodes come to you, okay?
Smash that like and subscribe. Smash it.
Smash it. Thanks, bye, everyone, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nikki Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the Wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
can't have a meal without the Emily sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.